Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, here along with my co-host and companion for life, Rhonda Branham, and we're both so blessed to have you here with us today, having just come off of celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday, and as we're preparing ourselves to begin the holy season of Advent, which gets underway this Sunday. My, how time flies. It seems we were just doing last year's Thanksgiving and Advent shows. Well, thanks for joining us today. In a few minutes here, we'll be bringing Deacon Russ Woodard on the show to discuss some of the fruit of this past fall's 40 Days for Life campaign. This was the first time that Deacon Russ led a 40 Days for Life campaign, so we'll find out how things went and talk about the importance of these prayer and fasting campaigns. But first things first, Rhonda's going to start us off in prayer.
Blessed be the name of God Almighty, who has created life for his pleasure and glory. Blessed be God, who formed us in our mother's wombs and knew us before we came into being. Blessed be the great gift of life, which we enjoy thanks to the care of our parents. Lord God, author and preserver of life, we thank you for allowing us to exist. We thank you for having created us out of nothing and for making us each a unique being, full of gifts that reflect your image. We are sorry, Lord, for the times when we have not lived according to your desires, but according to our weak, sinful nature. We repent of this and we consecrate our lives anew to you, desiring to obey your commandments and fulfill your holy will. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the lives of our brothers and sisters whose lives have been tragically cut short by abortion. Forgive us, Lord, of our negligence and of our lack of zeal to do all we can to help end this evil. Thank you, Lord, for all the elements that accompany us and permit our existence. Thank you, Lord, for the air that we breathe, for the blood that runs through our veins, for the gift of time and space. Thank you for the wonderful universe that is beyond our comprehension, for the stars, the planets, and the constellations. Thank you for the gifts that you have bestowed upon every one of us. Thank you, Lord, because you call us your children, even though we do not deserve that title. Amen. Let's go now to this week's In the News.
Late last week, the California Supreme Court announced that it is refusing to hear a lawsuit brought by a Catholic women's missionary group seeking to overturn a state mandate that forces them to pay insurance premiums that subsidize abortions. Back in 2014, then-Governor Jerry Brown signed regulations stating that all elective abortions are basic health care and medically necessary and must be provided by all health insurance plans with no allowances for religious or moral objections. This past April, it was discovered that in internal emails between plans Planned Parenthood and the California Health and Human Services, the abortion giant had lobbied the state agency to force religious organizations and churches to cover elective abortions. The California Supreme Court's decision marks the second time that the state regulations to force religious organizations to pay for abortions have been upheld. Previously, three churches had filed a suit against the rule, arguing that their conscience rights were being violated. And the Daily Mail is reporting some alarming statistics from 2018 abortion data in the United Kingdom. The Mail reported that 700 women had had at least six abortions in 2018, with five teenagers among them. Also, at least 140 women had had their eighth abortion in 2018, a figure that is up by 27% from only 2 years ago. Additionally, nearly 4,500 women have had their fourth abortion last year, including 23 teenagers. Pro-life leaders pointed to changes in the UK law that permit abortion pills to be taken at home for the rise in these numbers. Maria Stopes, UK, Britain's largest abortion provider, responded to the concerns of pro-lifers by saying that there is no right or wrong number of abortions. And the New York Times is being called out once again for obscuring the reality of an unborn baby's heartbeat. In an article covering the recent re-election of pro-life Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards, the Times stated that throughout the campaign, Mr. Edwards, a rare Democrat holding statewide office in the South, shined a spotlight on his conservative bona fides, like his support for a state law barring abortion after the pulsing of what becomes the fetus's heart can be detected. adopted. The reporters were referring to Governor Edwards' signing of Louisiana's heartbeat bill into law this past May. In a piece earlier this year, the Times had referred to the fetal heartbeat as embryonic pulsing. Live Action News notes that even Planned Parenthood's own month-by-month guide to prenatal development indicates that a baby's heartbeat starts as early as 5 weeks, and by week 7, the heart has formed. And recent webcasts sponsored by a nonprofit organization that helps abortion workers leave the industry is revealing how women's lives are endangered because of a high volume of abortions being performed in a short amount of time in order to maximize profits. During recent online conferences held by Abby Johnson's group and Then There Were None, former abortion workers have been telling stories about how patients were moved in and out as fast as possible, even at the expense of their recovery and of upholding proper cleanliness. One former worker said, "There were many things that I could tell you how horrible it was. Blood on the top of the tabletops with doctors rushing patients back and having patients that were rushed out, that there was no time to clean those beds in between, and the next patient was then on that bloody spot from the prior patient." Another worker relayed, "One of the morbid jokes that we'd say was that we needed to put a drive-through window on the side so that we could get these done faster than McDonald's." Johnson's organization to date has helped nearly 500 workers leave the abortion industry, and the testimony of some of these former workers has helped to close several abortion clinics. And finally, it appears that no abortions were performed this past week at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood because of the Thanksgiving holiday. Several women, however, went in for abortion counseling this past week and are scheduled for an abortion this coming Thursday, December the 5th. Be sure to keep all of these abortion-minded women and their unborn babies and families in your prayers. Have a blessed Thanksgiving weekend. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, Rhonda, with the holy season of Advent upon us, it seems a very fitting time for us to rededicate ourselves to the pro-life movement as we prepare our hearts to commemorate the birth of a child, and not just any child, but God Himself, who took on our human nature in the womb of His most blessed mother. Almighty God became a helpless and innocent unborn child for love of us. And in his encyclical, The Gospel of Life, Pope St. John Paul II writes this in the opening paragraph. "At the dawn of salvation, it is the birth of a child which is proclaimed as joyful news. I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The source of this great joy is the birth of the Savior. But Christmas also reveals the full meaning of every human birth, and the joy which accompanies the birth of the Messiah is thus seen to be the foundation and fulfillment of joy at every child born into the world."
And Pope St. John Paul II goes on to make the case for the incomparable worth of every single person when he writes, "Man is called to a fullness of life which far exceeds the dimensions of his earthly existence, because it consists in sharing the very life of God. The loftiness of this supernatural vocation reveals the greatness and the inestimable value of human life even in its temporal phase. In a special way, believers in Christ must defend and promote the right to life, aware as they are of the wonderful truth recalled by the Second Vatican Council. By his incarnation, the Son of God has united himself in some fashion with every human being. This saving event reveals to humanity not only the boundless love of God, who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, but also the incomparable value of every human person."
Well, we've got our marching orders right there, don't we? We're mandated to pray, promote, and work for the right to life of every human person. It's not just optional. And in particular, we're called to come to the defense of those who are most vulnerable, those who are being outright denied the inalienable right to life, the unborn. And one of the most effective ways we have to do this is by participating in 40 Days for Life campaigns. Well, we finished up the fall 2019 campaign at the beginning of the month, and here to talk with us about that is Deacon Russ Woodard from Holy Trinity Parish in Edinburgh. Hi, Deacon Russ, and welcome back to Pro-Life to the Max.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So, Deacon Russ, this is the first time that you have led a campaign, so what do you think?
Well, it was amazing. You know, they tell you it's very hard to do, and I would agree with that. And there's just so much that goes into it. There are struggles, but there are also blessings. So it's kind of a mixed bag. But overall, I was real happy with the way things went. We can do better. So I'm hoping that we can build upon the foundation that's there and just keep moving on.
Okay, so do you plan to do this again in the spring?
Yeah, I think I will. And in fact, I think there's a lot of work that we can do between now and spring as far as inviting other churches to participate, to get their congregations to take part. So
yeah,
there's a lot of work that we can do between now and the spring campaign.
So how did you manage to lead the campaign amid all of your other duties as a deacon?
Oh, you have to rely on God. There's a lot going on, and I tried to just keep all the balls up in the air as I juggled them. And when I could, I'd make the trip over to Bloomington. It's about an hour trip for me. So make the trip over, hopefully spend a couple hours there on the sidewalk, and then make the trip back. As often as I could, I wanted to do that.
So that's a big sacrifice right there too, right? Just driving over, and were you praying then on the way over too?
Oh, yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Lots of prayer. And fortunately, God gave us good weather,
mm-hmm.
and so I didn't have to worry about that. And sometimes the trip was made in the dark one way or another, but it all worked out, and it's always good to get there and see other people there on the sidewalk praying too.
Yeah, good. So tell us about some of the fruit that came from this campaign, and both internationally and locally here in Bloomington. What were some of those things?
Yeah, as we speak, 40 Days for Life hasn't given us the summation of all the lives saved and the abortion workers that have left the abortion industry and the abortion clinics that have been closed, but that should be coming here forthcoming. But we know to date, over 16,000 babies have been saved internationally through the efforts of 40 Days for Life campaign. So if you subscribe to their daily emails, we always hear of saves and things like that. So the last number I saw, we were over 400 for this campaign. I'm
wow.
sure it could be many more than that.
Oh, that's
so that's
great.
A lot.
Yeah, we had 505 locations. This was the most locations ever for 40 Days for Life. This was the largest campaign they've ever had, and it just seems that the momentum is building for there to be more campaigns, so hopefully that continues on. I think the release of the unplanned movie in spring helped with that. There were campaigns both here in the United States and in other countries that where there had never been a campaign before, so I think the momentum is building, definitely.
And so locally, too, what did we see locally, some fruit? Do we have any saves here?
We know of at least two saves that we definitely, where the people told us, you know, we're choosing life, we're going to keep our baby. On the last Thursday of the campaign, Abortion Day, we know that three women left who were pretty sure they were scheduled for abortions, but they didn't stay long enough. Now, they didn't specifically tell us when they left, but so far we haven't seen them back, so we are very hopeful that maybe we had as many as three more saves. And you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a woman will come back 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years later and say, I came for an abortion and somebody was here praying and I changed my mind.
Yeah.
So you just never know.
So how is the participation in the Bloomington campaign?
Well, we have a good core of people, but, you know, we have lots of people on our emailing list, but we don't see all those people out here. So we definitely could use a lot more people that are willing to come out and just pray for an hour on the sidewalk. I know it's a scary thought if you've never done it before, but if you're like me, the first time you come out, you find out it's really not that bad. It's amazing to me. I was one day I was here at the Planned Parenthood, and I was praying, and I was there. I was kneeling before where we believe the abortions take place, and I got enveloped in prayer, and I just lost total consciousness of any distractions. You know, we're on a busy street, College Avenue. I just lost totally. You know, the cars going by and things like that. I just was there in prayer, and it was just really a holy moment for me. And to continued on as I prayed my rosary and my Divine Mercy chaplet. So,
and you know, and it's funny because sometimes some of your best prayer time does come there, ironically, mm-hmm. amidst all the action and all the sights and the sounds going on, isn't it? And that's a gift from God.
Yeah.
Yes, it truly is. So, you know, we definitely want to get more people out there to pray. We'd love to have two or more people out there every hour of, you know, all our vigil. That didn't happen all the time, but I think we can build upon that. And like I said, I hope we can get some more churches to sponsor a day or sponsor one day a week or something like that.
Yeah.
We have some good participation from a lot of the Catholic churches, not so much from the Protestant churches. I know they're pro-life.
Yes.
But we need to get them out there. You know, I talked to at least one person who was not Catholic, and she said, you know, I think I'm the only one from my church that I know of that comes out here. And I said, well, you know, let's work with your pastor and see what we can do.
So why do you think it's so difficult to get people to do this? And why is it important that they at least put forth the effort to do so?
I think people are, a couple different reasons. I think people don't know what to expect. They're a little afraid. They're afraid that, you know, somebody's going to persecute them right there on the sidewalk. I think we're all too busy. We get busy in our day-to-day activities, and we don't think about those things that are most important, those things that will get us to heaven. And I always like to remind people that, you know, Jesus told us we had to, you know, feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty and clothe the naked and welcome the stranger. Well, if he were here today, he would say we need to pray at the abortion clinic.
Absolutely.
Because we have to save those innocent lives that are being taken.
Yeah. And do you think it's a case of out of sight, out of mind, too? Because we may have very good intentions of praying at home, right, or in our churches.
But we
kind of tend to let that slide. But this forces us. This forces the issue front and center, don't you think?
Right. And I've heard people say, you know, why can't I just pray at home or in church? You know, why do I have to come out there? Well, you know, we're at the foot of the cross there. We're at Calvary where Jesus is being put to death. Monsignor Philip Riley says that. We need to be there. We need to show others that it's important that we're there. You know, some people stop by and they say, you know, I never knew that they did abortions here mm-hmm. until I saw you guys out there praying.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to set the example by being out there on the sidewalk praying. Yes, it's inconvenient. Yes, sometimes it's a little uncomfortable because it might be too hot or too cold or something like that. You know, maybe we have to delay doing something that we normally would do, but it truly is a calling from God. We need to be out there. We need to stand up for life, and we need to say, you know, this is that important. Innocent lives are being taken, and this is one way that we can stop this Holocaust.
Oh, very good. Yeah. So tell us about the Midpoint Rally that was held there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, and that featured Matt Britton. So how many came out for this? And I know he talked about some horrific statistics. So let's talk about that as well.
Yeah. Matt, he's the board chairman and general counsel for 40 Days for Life internationally. He's traveled to many different countries and taken part in many different campaigns. And he was just a wonderful speaker. We had, I don't know exactly, maybe 40 or 50 folks, I think, out there on a Sunday night. And he was able to talk to us and give us some of these awful statistics, you know, especially our African-American community. They are just, in New York, you're more likely, if you're an African-American baby, you're more likely to be aborted than to be born alive. That's how many mothers are choosing abortion for their children. We need to stop this. This is genocide, and people just don't realize it, and they don't, I think, like you said, out of sight, out of mind, they mm-hmm. don't realize the horrendous statistics. And just, you know, one thing Matt told us was that, you know, people just aren't aware of 40 Days for Life. The general population are not, so we got to get the word out there. We got to get more people to know about it, to learn about it, and to come out and take part. And the more people we get out there to pray, the more mothers are going to change their minds. The more abortion workers are going to want to leave the industry. And if we can take business away from Planned Parenthood, eventually it's no longer going to be feasible for them financially to keep that clinic open. And so hopefully one day we will see that clinic close.
Amen. Yeah. And you know what I want to bring up quickly? What our family, we discussed this after Matt's talk. What really struck us was the statistic that he said, like, what is it, 53 or 56 million people die every year. And by this, that same exact amount, whether that was 53 or 56 million, unborn children are killed in the U.S. every year. So 50% of deaths in the U.S. are from abortion. We just found that just staggering.
Now let me correct you. I think you misstated. Million people throughout the world die.
Okay, thank you. There
annually.
You go. Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
and
throughout the world.
How many die from abortion? Now in the United States, we only have about maybe 900,000 or to a million.
Oh yes,
aborted.
You're right. That's the international statistic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right,
but that's still
right.
Incredible. But isn't that incredible?
Yes.
Half the people in the world are dying from abortion.
Right.
Which is
right.
Completely preventable. You know, if we
right.
knew what caused cancer, we could have that and implement that and you know, take that away so that we don't have as many people dying. Wouldn't we do that? We would be after, we're after cures, right? Well, we know the cure for half of the deaths in the world. Let's, you
right.
know.
I mean, we're over 2 billion abortions, you know, since 1973, you know, at least in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of that, 2 billion people that don't exist. Because their mothers chose to have an abortion or were forced to have an abortion.
Yeah, mind-boggling.
Yeah. So how powerful is that constant vigil there outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood? And can you also tell us about that overnight men's vigil on Thursday evenings into the Friday mornings?
Yes, I think that constant vigil is very important. You know, some of the campaigns, they do, for the whole 40 days, they do 24 hours a day. We're not quite there yet, but it is important for people to see us out there praying. And just, you know, any time you pray, your prayers are going to be efficacious. And so the more prayers we have, the more people that are out there praying, they're gonna really start changing mothers' minds and changing the minds of people who are just happen to be driving by and don't realize what's going on there. Yeah, it's wonderful. Dale Seifker has organized the men's overnight vigil, and we have a few women, too, that come out overnight, and just pray there. There's no one in Planned Parenthood, but yet we're still there. We're praying. We're asking God to soften the hearts of mothers and workers and to help them change their minds. And so I even had the opportunity to come out one of the Thursday evenings and actually, I think it was early Friday morning I came and was able to stay there and pray. And again, it's just a holy moment to be there and to be in God's presence and to be praying. So it'd be wonderful if one day we could, you know, do our 40-day campaign 24 hours a day.
It would be.
But we need lots more people to volunteer to come out and pray.
And it's a good chance of reparation, this overnight vigil, too, because I'm often reminded of here these babies aren't allowed to be born. And so the parents, you know, normally parents of newborns, what do? You get up in the night to feed them and take care of them. That's how, you know, that's part of being having the newborn in the house. There's that sacrifice there. So when these men do this overnight, it's kind of like making that reparation, you know, for these moms and dads who aren't getting up in the middle of the night because they've aborted their child. So I found that kind of thinking that along that lines is very powerful too. So it's important for us to do that, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. And, you know, they, this all began up in Wisconsin where it's very mm-hmm. cold and they call their campaign Sleep No More. And I think we've used that terminology here, but, mm-hmm. You know, there's been instances up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, where they've been out at night and they've been approached by a woman and she said, you know, here it is 2 or 3 in the morning. And she said, you know, I was going to come and have an abortion, but when I see you out here praying, I just can't do it. So we know of saves that have occurred because people have been out there at night praying. Mm-hmm. We don't know of any particularly maybe here in Bloomington, but It has to influence minds of people who go by, whether it's a mother or someone who just thinks, well, abortion's not so bad.
Yeah.
I know we're influencing minds.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, we're just coming off of the Thanksgiving holiday, right? So tell us about the importance of developing a thankful heart and making sure that we do include prayers of Thanksgiving in our efforts to help end abortion.
You know, someone has once said, what if you woke up today and the only thing you had was what you thanked for God yesterday? You know, what would you end up with? And, you know, we need to be thankful every day to God for our own lives, for our own mothers choosing lives. You know, so many of our young people today, their peers are not alive today because their mothers chose abortion. So we need to be thankful to our mothers. We need to be thankful to God for all the fruits that we're seeing. And we need to offer prayers of thanksgiving every day for Him working in our lives and for helping us occasionally to see a little bit of fruit. We don't see it often. We don't know, and I don't think we'll know for sure until we get to heaven one day, you know, how many lives have been changed because of our prayers and our sacrifices and our offerings to God. But we need to thank Him for the opportunity to do that. You know, think about China and how religion is persecuted there. You know, they can't do 40 days for life per se in China. There are people working to end abortion, but they have to do it on a lower scale. They can't just go out and protest. They would be arrested and imprisoned because of that. So
yeah, so we don't have an excuse, do we?
No, we don't.
That's amazing.
And you know, we're fortunate that we have the opportunity to go out and to have free speech and to try to convince these mothers to change their minds.
And then real quickly to Dick and Russ, because we are running out of time, but, you know, Advent is approaching very quickly here. So any tips for us? What should we do during the season of Advent to make it more fruitful in our own efforts at pro-life? Because there's such a connection between Advent and the pro-life movement.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's all what Advent's about. You know, here's Mary, an unborn virgin who finds out that she's pregnant. And, you know, so there's just so much that we can do during Advent to pray for the unborn, to remember that Jesus was born. He was homeless. He was born in a stable. And that many of the lives of these mothers are not what, you know, we would like them to be. So we need to reach out to them. We need to be here on the sidewalk in front of Planned Parenthood and reach out to them and offer them help and assistance, and assure them that there is help available, and God loves them and loves their babies, and He wants only what's best for each of us. So,
absolutely. Good time now during Advent season to get out on those sidewalks, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, Deacon Russ Woodard, we are nearly out of time. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, and I know you're very busy to talk with us. And thank you for not only all the pro-life work you're doing, but for all the ways in which you're helping the lives of so many people in their journey toward heaven. So we thank God for you, and hopefully we'll continue to be blessed to have you back on some future Pro-Life to the Max shows.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's never too late to start thinking about the next 40 Days for Life campaign, which will begin on Ash Wednesday, February 26th, and will run until Palm Sunday, April 5th in 2020. But you don't have to wait until then to come and pray at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. In fact, there are sidewalk advocates and prayer partners down there all throughout the week and an all-day presence on Abortion Day, which is every Thursday. We encourage you to take some time in prayer during this Advent season and see how God might be calling you to step out of your comfort zone and to put forth an even greater effort in helping to end what has become the worst Holocaust that the world has ever known. Literally, billions of lives have been slaughtered within the past half century through abortion and abortion-causing drugs. How can we honestly remain indifferent to this? Thanks so much for joining us today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.